This is WEUS Orlo Vista Orlando, serving all of Central Florida with 10,000 watts on the big 810 AM.
Joining us on the line right now, it's a troubling subject. Teenagers and driving, teenagers learning to drive, teenagers getting behind the wheel. Welcome, Anne-Marie Hayes. What a pleasure to have you on the Ed Till Show, Orlando's Real Talk. How you doing?
Well, thanks, Dad. I'm really glad to be talking to you and sharing information that can help save our teen drivers.
Well, you know, that's the thing. I just remember all the way back to when I was a teenage driver, it seemed to be we were hip to all the things we had to make sure these kids didn't do to stay safe. It's hard to believe today that we don't have this all locked down. What are the biggest vulnerabilities to teenagers behind the wheel, and how do we get parents hipper and even more involved to shut down these opportunities for danger?
Well, first of all, the call is really timely here because the 8 out of 10 of the most dangerous days of the year for teen drivers are coming up between May and September. And they start with prom night.
Right.
Prom night is the most dangerous night of the year. No teen should ever drive to prom. And there are a lot of other dangerous ones beyond that. Parents can do so much to protect their teen drivers. Teens need a lot more practice than they're getting. Experts tell us they need a minimum of 100 hours in a year. Now, that works out to 2 hours a week. And that's a tough haul for today's families because people are so busy. Mothers are not in the kitchen at home anymore, and people are working and have tight schedules. However, it's really important to get teens out. There's so much parents forget, and grandparents and aunts and uncles, we forget how much we know when we get behind the wheel of the car. Things from as simple as setting your mirrors, turning is very dangerous. Left-hand turns in particular, because you're crossing a lane of moving traffic. And for new drivers, that's a tough, it's very tough to gauge how quickly cars are coming at you. Right turns, navigating the neighborhood, speed limits as they change, crosswalks. We really don't realize how much there is for teens to know. It's way beyond just operating the car. There are lots of things that this generation in particular of teens has that have more difficulties than even past drivers. And one of them is because teens focus so often today within about 12 inches of their face. They have their iPods and their telephones, their cell phones, and they're looking very close to their face. When you're driving, as we all know, you really need to be focused about a quarter of a mile down the road. That's a very hard transition for parents, for teens to make. One tip there that can help parents and to make sure their teens are looking up and down the road where they need to be would be for parents to take a very small, thin strip of masking tape and put it right down the length of the windshield, about halfway down. And as they're coaching their teen from the passenger seat, they need to make sure their teen's eyes are continually up and looking down the road, because that's the only way you can really be scanning the road, seeing what's happening up ahead, and making sure that you're braking appropriately and know where your outs are on the road if you need to make a quick decision. Those kinds of reflexive driving skills take a long time to build up, and that's why the 100 hours is recommended for new drivers. But there are lots of other things that parents should be doing and need to know as well. For example, graduated driver licensing laws are really important, and a lot of parents don't even know what the laws are in their area. In Florida, for example, the minimum age for drivers with an intermediate license is 16. And at that age, they can drive during the day, but not between 11 p.m. and 6 a.m. Some people will say, well, you know, you can go out and join the Army and give up your life for your country. Why is it they can't drive past 11 p.m.? It really has nothing to do with, it's not a penalty that they're putting on young people. It's because the tragic fact is that so many teens fall asleep behind the wheel and die every year. And so that curfew really is to make sure that they're not on the roads at night and driving when they do risk falling asleep. Other restrictions, I mean, having passengers in Florida does not have a passenger restriction with an intermediate license, and frankly, they should. And I think every parent should really consider imposing their own restrictions if they're not already in the law, because passengers are an additional distraction. And, of course, everybody knows that cell phones and texting are distractions. However, we still allow our kids to talk on cell phones, and I can tell you I'm often...
Oh, it is. Hold on. You know what, Amory? I apologize. We couldn't hear you until just this last second. We've got you back. I appreciate that. Go right ahead and start over. We got you now, though.
With cell phones?
Yes. Go right ahead with the cell phone. Yes.
Cell phones are a terrible distraction, whether you're talking on them or texting. And texting is getting a lot of press, but talking on a regular cell phone is a real issue, too. And I can tell you that I'm often in the Orlando area. I love Orlando, I love Florida in general, but particularly Orlando. And the number of people that I see on cell phones is quite astounding, especially young people. They have a hard time giving up their cell phones. But as parents, I mean, that's an area that we really need to step in and put in rules and monitor, because it's not worth a life, either your child or someone they may hit, which is also life-altering in a horrible, horrible way.
Oh, sure. Right, right. If a kid really isn't paying attention, accidentally takes another person's life, you're right. They're going to be in therapy for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
It's horrible. Let me try to make some comparison here. When you were disconnected there temporarily, I was saying to the audience, I remember what it was like when I went to prom, and I can't imagine what parents are up against today. What are the factors that have changed greatly between prom days in the late 70s, early 80s, and prom now in the 21st century? Because we were breaking some of those rules, candidly, Anne-Marie, I will tell you. But I will tell you this, we didn't have the death toll that the ensuing generations have had, or the injury toll. So, you know, you got two things going on there. Is, you know, the actual distractions and bad behaviors, but also how bright the kids are and how well-trained they are and how serious they are about being behind the wheel. What kind of comparisons could we make from yesteryear until now?
Well, the really tragic fact there is, as you point out, there are still so many critical injuries and deaths every year, but cars are a great deal safer than they were.
Mm.
So, in fact, if you look at it from that perspective, things are worse today than they ever have been.
Wow.
Prom night is particularly dangerous, and a lot of people associate it with alcohol and drugs and fooling around on prom night. And as teens get older, that becomes more of an issue. But the sad fact is that coming home from prom, going to prom the week before, what are teens doing? They're writing exams. They're very excited. Girls are out doing the stuff they do to prepare for prom, plus studying and all of that. By the time it comes to prom night, they're exhausted. But the adrenaline of going through prom night keeps them going all day and all evening until 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever, when they're heading home and somebody falls asleep at the wheel. And that's a huge problem, falling asleep at the wheel. Another
now,
big issue.
You mentioned it before. I can't believe that parents today would be allowing their kids to drive to prom. Is that not universally understood that, you know, you just don't do that for a myriad of safety reasons, not just the ones that we're talking about now? Do we know any behavioral numbers on that? Like, are most people putting their kids in some kind of third-person transportation? I mean, you know, it's frightening that they would put the kids in the family car and say, go have a good prom tonight, but...
Well, it comes down to dollars and cents, and we live in a material world. And if it comes to between a choice between wearing the gown I want and the tiara I want and getting my nails and my hair done, or getting a limousine to take us to prom, I mean, driving with your parents is totally uncool.
Right.
So those are the decisions people are making, and we need to rethink that. going in some kind of transportation, whether you put, I mean, I've heard of kids, they rent a bus, and 50 kids will go together in a bus. I mean, that's a great way to travel.
Sure.
It's not as cool as a limo, but when you all chip in, it's a better deal.
Absolutely. Hey, Anne-Marie, thanks so much for the time today. We are in the season where we need safety and we need the kids to be on our mind, and we help you for thank you for helping us reflect on that today. Let me give out the website if people want to follow up with Anne-Marie Hayes about teen drinking and what parents can do. It's teenslearntodrive.com. That's teenslearntodrive.com. Anne-Marie Hayes, a pleasure. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Ed. And if they can't remember that, just remember thedrivingbook.com, and that'll take us to us, too.
Excellent. Thedrivingbook.com or teenslearntodrive.com. Anne-Marie Hayes.